Thank you for joining us today at A View Beyond the Ordinary. I'm your host, Jolene Lenz. I interview some courageous souls who share their extraordinary story with the goal of helping us pursue our bliss. Let's get started and tune in. Thank you all for joining today. And I have an incredible guest. Wendy Borman is here. And Wendy, I'll start off with a little bit about you. For those of you who don't know Wendy Borman, she produces digital content and live events for thought leaders so they can entertain, empower, and engage their audience to create global change. Her 20-year career encompasses producing 4 documentary films, producing performances for Dr. Maya Angelou and Margaret Cho, serving on the board of 2 women in film chapters, and working as a certified consent forward artist. There's so much more about Wendy's background I will share on my podcast notes too, or check out my website, because Wendy, you have quite an accomplished filmmaking background. So I'd love to welcome you first and foremost to A View Beyond the Ordinary.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, Jolene.
Thank you so much for coming. And I met Wendy a number of years ago via a friend in a class. So I appreciate the opportunity, because you have had this filmmaking career. And how did you start, you know, going down this path?
Yeah, I was always that kid who was good in school. You know, I was good in all the subjects. I was interested in things. But what I loved to do was create and perform. You know, like, I was the kid who, if I was bored, I would put on a Barbie fashion show. Or if all the cousins got together, we would have a talent show and I would like produce the whole thing, you know. So I had my outlets in dance primarily. And then in high school, we moved a lot when I was younger. But at my last high school, they finally had a theater department. So I was able to audition for a play. First audition, got a leading role, and that just kind of assured me that, okay, there's a future here. My parents, in their wisdom, had said, that's great, but we're not sending you to college to be a waitress, so please have a backup plan. So I added a broadcast journalism double major. And that actually led me to my aha moment. So I had an opportunity to study abroad in Accra, Ghana, in the early aughts. And my internship was to be a production assistant on their local TV show. And one day the director was sick. He handed me the script and he said, you do it today. So here I am at 22 directing a TV show in a foreign country. And I said, this is what I want to do. So that was the first aha moment I had. Yeah, I came back to college. I changed my thesis project from, you know, a performance-based theater thing to directing. And I really bounced between those two worlds, you know, event, performance, production, and digital video, film, commercial work. And that's how I have pursued my career over the last 20 years.
Well, I received goosebumps. I had goosebumps when you talked about your aha moment. And I know a lot of us get that aha feeling. And it's, for myself, I cried when I knew that I was guided into mining, and I took the risk and made the leap of faith to move my business into mining back when I did heavy recruiting. But for you to know that and receive that information at that age, what a gift for you to follow your path and your heart. I don't know that many of us all do that, Wendy. So what a blessing. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions I want to ask too, because I do believe that there's this force, this divine force behind us, helping guide us. If we trust and listen to our feelings and our heart, did you ever receive, obviously, it sounds like you were navigated and went into some interesting ways, but any ahas too, or I should say ahas, but just realizations that, you know, you had this divine support behind you?
Absolutely. The way I talk about it is the universe. That's the energetic force that I talk about. But I really believe that, you know, reality is so big, we can choose what we want to see based on where we put our attention. And on my first documentary film, it was about elephants who had stepped on landmines in Thailand. And there was an elephant hospital who was building prosthetics to help them walk again. So, definitely one of those pull on your heartstrings kind of stories. And I found that by wandering into an elephant hospital in Thailand with a video camera. So, that was a moment of like, okay, this is the next project. I don't want to live in a world where this happens. I can never write a check big enough to solve the problem, but I can tell the story and maybe I can help motivate other people to get involved. But a documentary takes 5 to 7 years, right? Because the story evolves, you're fundraising, you have to edit, you refine it, you submit to festivals, things like that. So throughout the course of that time, I obviously would lose momentum or get frustrated by an obstacle or things like that. And whenever that would happen, I would see something that had an elephant in it. It was a poster at a coffee shop. It was a logo on someone's t-shirt. It was something at a bus stop. It was like the universe was saying, keep going, right? And I just knew that that's how it was communicating with me. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna like pull up the bootstraps and let's keep going with this. And it was the right thing to do because, you know, that film has came out in 2012, but it's screened at the United Nations. I was able to go to conferences to help ban landmines. I mean, I communicated with celebrities. The Elephant Hospital was able to get some bigger donors because of the awareness from the film. So it was that was the path, right? And that's just one example of how I think the communication we communicate with the universe.
You know, whether, yeah, the universe, I know some, whether a God, divine force, I do believe we have this amazing energy and signs that you just mentioned. I know I've seen those signposts too that help guide me. And I think that the calling there is the self-awareness to even recognize them and be slow down enough to go, oh my gosh, this is definitely a sign for me. So you answered the call. And in terms of just the risk that you've taken along your career, I know most filmmakers, or at least I would believe, are a little bit afraid of, are you going to make a living at this? You know, maybe share a little bit with the audience for those that want to try something new, or maybe filmmaking like me, wanting to move into making a documentary myself. You know, what advice would you give filmmakers or individuals in terms of making a living? Did you ever fear, how am I going to put, you know, food on the table and have a roof over my head?
These are all fair questions. And this is why I do more than one thing, right? If filmmaking, like one film trying to sustain me for 5 to 7 years, that's a losing battle, right? There's not enough support there just because it takes so long to do a film. So this is why I have multiple revenue streams. This is why I do commercial work, I produce corporate events or smaller events. You know, I do a variety of different things that are all still connected by storytelling. You know, that's the common theme. But I'm also not purely focused on just doing one thing, right? Like other people hire me to produce things, but I direct my own projects, right? That's one of the reasons why I learned how to fundraise, right? Because I had the idea for this elephant film. And I was like, well, nobody else is going to hire me to direct this. So I need to find the funds to and open the company and educate myself about how do you even put a film together from a business perspective? How do you sell it? How do you write grants and all those sorts of things? So the biggest lesson I learned around that, especially when you're looking at something creative like a film or a live performance, you might have this feeling that it's a solo project. I mean, I certainly would use that term to talk about the elephant film. But my solo project is everybody else's bank account project. They have their own solo projects, right? So I need to think about how I can recruit the people who are interested in that impact, the positive impact we can make. But I also need to walk the walk. If I believe in equity, I need to pay people equitably, right? I need to pay people close to what their full day rates are, even if we're doing a documentary film. So, and then having those conversations with the people who fund the projects so they recognize that, like, look, we have this social impact element to what we're doing, but at the end of the day, it's also a business. We are going to be selling something, but our widget isn't available now, right? Like our widget is available years from now, and hopefully everybody wants it. So we have to take people on that journey with us.
You have to explain to them, it makes so much sense, the business aspect of it and being able to pay good talent so you can produce a great product. That's a great explanation. Thank you for sharing that. And the creative process, you're obviously involved in a number of different projects all at once. How do you keep them all kind of separate, but utilize your creativity and be able to really? I think there's so many of us that want to. I believe creativity is actually essential for our well-being. I'm learning that more and more as I get older, that if we don't create and express our truth, a part of us, it's like, I think ails are where we get disease. We're not at ease. So how do you do that? How do you stay present with your creativity?
A lot of it comes down to scheduling myself, right? So I this year decided to try a new scheduling model where I'm available for clients on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then Monday is my CEO day where I do all of my administrative things as a business owner. Wednesday is my creative day where I'm writing, I'm filming my videos for social media, I'm editing those things, you know, I'm doing my newsletters and creating graphics and things like that. And then Friday is my cleanup day of like getting through all the things that I didn't get to in the week because things inevitably popped up. And then within those days, I block out times for specific tasks and I try to batch them together. So I'll do all of my writing in a batch. I'll do all my filming and editing in a batch. Or, you know, if I'm doing meetings, I'll try to have meetings back to back. And then each day, I literally on my calendar have time in the morning for yoga and meditation. And then I schedule in a hour-long lunch and walk break for myself because I know I need those things to step away from the computer, to let my subconscious work on something, let it kind of bubble to the surface. And then when I come back to it, I have that fresh inspiration to keep going. But it's taken me decades to figure that out. You know, when I was starting my business, I was available to everybody all the time. I was working till 11 at night, you know, things like that. And just as I've gotten older, I've gotten better at boundaries. And I've also gotten better at vibing, like figuring out where I am energetically. Like if I'm in a high vibe state, I can really knock out a project quickly. If I'm in a low vibe state, it's going to feel like drudgery and I need to do something else, right? And recognizing that I'm my own boss and I need to just build in that flexibility into my schedule. So.
Brilliant. I was going to say the discipline to also do that for a lot of creatives can be very challenging because we want to go with the inspiration and wait for the, like you said, kind of that high vibe. And what I found is when we stick with a schedule, and I'm really working on this too, Wendy. I think we all are out there, I guess the audience too. I wonder if you are. We'd love to hear from you. Is this something you're working on? But having that regimented or boundaries schedule where you know what your expectations are, when you're going to do certain projects, also keeps you very focused and not so scattered. So that sounds like a really, no wonder you've been successful, I should say. That's a surprise.
Thank you. That's the producer brain in me going, okay, we've got this many hours in a week available to other people, and these things I need to get done for myself. And there are still times when I'm working on the weekend, right? Because something happened and I didn't get all my stuff done. But it doesn't feel like a chore if I need to do that because I've built in that flexibility and that creativity into my my weekly schedule.
So that was going to be one of the questions, but you really have shared a few huge nuggets. I appreciate you doing that. So I have also, I wanted to expand on this. When we do something, especially artistically, because I've read the Artist's Way book by Julia Cameron, is it's really about sitting down, is it, and doing the work from a place of being present and then letting go to of the outcome. I think once we can just really be present, express what we're trying to express, and then let go of the outcome of, I wanted to ask you, success, because we all measure success differently. But I think wanting that validation from others can be detrimental. Or if we've had a huge successful project, then we may have like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do next? Have you ever felt like that in terms of, oh my gosh, you had one project be incredibly successful, maybe one didn't score as well? How did you handle that if you did?
I think how we define success is such a personal thing. And I learned early on that the way I define success is the freedom to choose who I work with and when I work with them. So that frees up having to look at my bank accounts and go, am I successful? Or looking at a to-do list and say, did I do everything? Was I successful today? I still have those voices that are like, wait a second, you didn't hit the goal you wanted this quarter, right? But if I just remind myself that, like, hey, we're determining success by this metric, it helps kind of quiet those voices. I have gotten better recently in lead generation because there have been times where it's like you're so focused on getting the film out into the world that when you finally deliver it, you go, well, now what do I do? And there's also the element of, you are gestating, and I really feel like birthing something creative into the world. I am not a mother of human children, but I feel like I am a birth mother of creative projects. And there's that postpartum element to it where you get the film out in the world and then you're like, okay, I just need to get back in touch with me and what I want to do next. So that's one of the things that I've learned is to just give myself space to do that. But the reality is, I need to constantly have people in the queue, things I can follow up on, or potential clients I could work with, or things like that. So things really got wonky there during the pandemic, especially for the film industry, and even coming out of it, folks are still struggling. But by pivoting towards working with founders and CEOs to help amplify their stories, that's giving me a lot more opportunity to have conversations with different people with different sized budgets.
And you know, I was just thinking that. I'm glad you hit on that because really, when you're doing a film or a project, especially what you're doing, it's like birthing a child and it's like a startup launch. You're doing startups all the time and then seeing them start up and then come to completion. And then you're moving on to probably after you do a little bit of the marketing and rolling it out, distribution, then it's on to what creative process comes next. And I understand that that would be. I hadn't even thought about that, Wendy, where you do a little bit of a mourning of, oh my gosh, I have to let go of working with those that group of individuals. And on that note, it sounds like what really brings you joy and defines success for you is the opportunity to work with to collaborate with these amazing, unique individuals that you all are working together in the creative process. It sounds like that is one of your true measures of success.
It is, and I also think putting together diverse groups of creative individuals is one of my gifts. Like that, finding the team and nurturing the dynamic for how everybody communicates with each other is something that I really pride myself as a skill that I have as a producer, and that I've learned a lot more learning how to deal with power dynamics and boundaries and communication styles. And frankly, that's what drew me to wanting to learn how to be a consent forward artist. We're thinking about how can we build consent practices into the project from the beginning, as opposed to waiting until, in a narrative film, it would be like, well, we have the intimate scene now, so we're finally going to talk about consent. And it's like, we were incredibly toxic up until that moment, but everybody be really vulnerable while everybody's watching now. Okay. And then we'll go back to being really toxic. And it's like, that's not a great dynamic, because I really believe that the most authentic and creative expressions come out of people feeling safe. Right? If they feel respected, if they feel supported, if they know that they are allowed to say, no, I don't feel comfortable doing that, they are way more open to those yes and kind of conversations of like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Yes, let's try that. And what if we, and you get into that creative flow, or you start vibing in this creative space when you feel supported in that vulnerability. And most of it really comes down to being able to say no and that being okay, because that is a very tenuous thing, especially with creative professionals, because we have this, well, if I say no, they're going to fire me, right? We don't have the job protections. Even in a union, they might say, well, you're off this film project. Somebody else is willing to do it. But
When did you come to this, I guess, realization, and how long ago did you implement this?
this was actually something I explored more during the pandemic pause, in 2020, because no film production was happening. But it was something I would always cared about. I mean, even in college, I produced and directed the Vagina Monologues, which is a fundraising performance to end gender-based violence. So this was always something I cared about, always something that was on my radar. And there finally was a role, like a job description, that came out of the Me Too movement, called an intimacy coordinator. So you have a choreographer and you have a fight coordinator, but when it came to these other moments where bodies were in close proximity, they were like, eh, figure it out. And we learned a lot of terrible things happened when they asked actors to just figure it out. So I went down that path in couple years ago, and I realized that this role is wonderful because it protects actors, but it only protects actors on certain days, on certain scenes, and the rest of the time the workplace, the creative workplace of a film set, can be as toxic as ever. So I took a side step and pursued something called a consent forward artist. So not only do we know how to do the intimacy coordinating, but we're also looking at trauma-informed practices, mental health, first aid, bystander intervention, really working with the production from the get-go to say, how can we set this up so that everybody feels supported, their needs are met, and nobody's boundaries are crossed? And a lot of it is just having conversations so
Oh my
people feel
gosh.
comfortable sharing.
And I believe this is going to help you attract so much just great talent, and they will appreciate the fact that you're doing this all up front. I know I would. And like you said, the vulnerability there, and believing that they can be okay, it's okay to say no, just like you said. That's huge. Well, congrats on making that stride. That sounds like you're moving forward and doing something really brave. So I appreciate that you're doing that, Wendy, too. And do you have, obviously, taking these types of steps, your support system? Do you have somebody who helps keep you, kind of grounded? A couple of individuals that you would call mentors or individuals you look up to that you aspire to be more like in your world?
Yeah, I actually have several people I would consider that. I think it's a tough job to have one person be my mentor and be the one person who's my lifeline. So I have several different friends who I would consider in that capacity, and some of them are in the creative space and some of them are not. They're just attuned people who have known me long enough who are able to say, like, I think there's a values conflict here, or that sounds really hard, or celebrate the wins of like, congratulations, you've worked really hard, that's wonderful. I also am really lucky in that I can have conversations like that with my spouse. So we're
That
able
makes
to, yeah, just talk through things. And, I did this pivot in my business a couple months ago, and there were some moments when I realized I was heading down the wrong path, and I got really hard on myself. I'm like, I wasted all this time. I'm gonna have to figure it all out again. And there was a tearful moment there, and he was really lovely, and he said, I think that's exactly what you needed to explore right now. And you caught it before you were too far down the path. And he just kind of helped talk me out of that negative self-talk space.
You know what? We're human. I was just going to say, and I'm glad when we do that, I'm glad you shared that too, because I think we all look at individuals like you, Wendy, who have had these amazing accomplishments and think life, oh, it has to be grand and easy. And it isn't part of it, the journey, just taking those steps and realizing maybe that step wasn't mine. I need to go backwards and restep or go in a different path. And then we know we have that clarity. So I'm glad you shared that.
I would also say that part of how I communicate with the universe is I know it tests me, like with challenges. It's nothing I can't handle, but it's like, are you sure you want to do this thing? Because here's this really shiny off-ramp you could take right now. And I have a sense of humor about it now to just be like, ah, you like that's really intriguing. You know me well that you would offer me that, but no, I'm gonna stay the course.
That shiny object, the ego, doesn't our ego, at least that's what I found, wants to go, oh, look, that looks amazing.
Do it like that. It's not the way you think you're gonna do it, but do it like that. And part of it is also a dialogue around recognizing effort and ease. There's been points in my life, especially when I was younger, where I was just like, ugh, I have to keep pushing this boulder up a mountain. Like it was effortful, right? And just recognizing that that's not the divine timing, or that's not the path because there's too many obstacles here. And just trying to get back to that sense of creative flow and finding the way, like water, to just flow around the boulder. I don't have to push it up the mountain. I might just have to flow around it or under it or go a different path. And eventually I'll come back to it and the boulder will have moved itself.
Wow, huge goosebumps and effort versus ease. I think this is such, I'm going to remember that, Wendy. That's huge. If we have to chase something, I don't know that it feels as good as when we allow it to flow in and it comes with an ease. Not that we don't pursue things and have to take action. Absolutely, steps I've learned are required. But like you just said, when it feels arduous and then I realize, oh my gosh, this shouldn't feel like such an effort of work. It's supposed to be joyful in the process. So you kind of answered the next question, which is I would love to ask, and I'll maybe reword it different. One of the questions I was going to ask you is if you were going to help your younger self, just give you some words of wisdom. And I know that one you just shared was huge. I think everybody, if your takeaway, that's one I am going to remember, but maybe anything you would share with those that are struggling or they're not even really sure what their calling is. Any words of wisdom you would impart?
When I was preparing for this conversation, I was thinking, well, what advice would I give my 25-year-old self? And my first response was, get your thyroid checked because I now have thyroid issues, that I developed in my late 30s. And so if I'd had the awareness in my early 20s, that's something I could have gotten ahead of, right? I would have stopped eating gluten. I would have stopped eating all the things that were going to flare it up. But in terms of advice for other creatives, I would invite them to create some space in their life, in their schedule, to just kind of get your thinking mind quiet and turn on that sensory experience. In the artist way, they talk about like take yourself on an artist date, right? So is it a walk, going to a museum, seeing a performance, listening to music, something like that. But I find that the projects that I'm attracted to, my spidey senses tingle, right? Sometimes it's a goosebump experience, but more than that, it's kind of a like ding 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 ding, like kind of like quiet bells saying this way, look this way. And that's something I pursue out of curiosity of like, what is it about this? So finding a way to get curious, turn on the sensory experience of life. And then the other advice that I have given other creative professionals who had the safe day job and they weren't quite sure if they could make it work, I would always say, figure out what your number is. What's the number you need to have in your bank account to give yourself permission to try this thing? And the number is different for everybody, right? It might be, oh, I need 3 months of savings, or I want to be able to pay off the camera equipment. Or, in my case, it was, do I have enough money to get on the plane to go to Thailand to for 2 months and see what happens? Because I had the invitation, right? So figuring out what that number is and then do it. The worst thing that happens is you're like, well, I spent the money and it didn't work out, but I learned something, and you can come back to what you were doing before. So.
Oh my gosh, yes. Huge. Aha. That's a great aha for me too. Just have a number. And I did that myself earlier in my career. I had a certain number. I have so many months I can go and give this a try. So all of you out there who are feeling stuck, I think Wendy just gave us a huge boost of to help us bloom in ways that may even surprise us. So Wendy, thank you for being a guest today. Thank you for sharing your incredible wisdom. And what is next for you? What's next in on yeah, next chapter?
Yes. So the past year or so, I have been an executive producer on a documentary called The Invisible Mammal, and it is having its world premiere May 3rd in the San Francisco Bay Area. So it is about female bat scientists who are racing to save North American bats from extinction. So if you like science, if you like women, if you care about the environment, if you just love, those blue chip nature documentaries with like slow motion, high definition footage. There's something for everybody here.
Oh my gosh. Now, will this for individuals to watch it, do we have to go to that San Francisco area? Will it roll out nationally?
We will, that's the first one. So we'll start rolling it out to other film festivals. But if you're interested in hosting a screening, we are looking for screening hosts for this fall because Bat Week is the week leading up to Halloween, obviously, right? That makes a lot of sense for all of us. But if you're interested in hosting a community screening in your area, definitely reach out to me.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's exciting. Congratulations on your next project. I know it's going to do phenomenal. I will be staying in touch and we have some exciting news Wendy and I are going to be offering. So check out our social media pages and thank you all so much for tuning in today. And Wendy, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us in this journey today. We are so grateful that you're here. And if you would like to connect to one of the guests, I always share their information in the show notes on my website, which is jolenelenz.com. That's JOLINELENZ. And don't forget to also subscribe to the podcast. I'd certainly appreciate that. And I'm wishing you all much joy and fulfillment in your path ahead. Cheers, everybody.